But the only reason I know a little bit about what's on television, Cheryl and I travel quite a bit, once or twice a month anyway, and we go out of town, and when we do, usually stay in a hotel. So when we stay in a hotel, sometimes I turn it on to see if I can find CNN to see what's going on in the world. I'll watch a few minutes to see some of the things that's going on, especially with Israel. But when I'm flipping from channel to channel trying to find CNN, the things my eyes see are absolutely things I don't want it to be in my heart. I do not want that to be in my heart. The wicked things that are on that television, that if you bring that thing into your house and you watch those shows, those wicked things that the devil's doing, you bring those detestable things into your home, it will bring destruction to your home. Your children will see those things. I mean, you can't even watch a cartoon today. I mean, computer games, all this stuff is detestable to the Lord. You know, it's objects that does not glorify Him. You know, your children today, instead of sitting in front of a computer screen or a television screen and playing these games, they need to be outside running and playing and doing something productive. Their body was designed to run and play and do things, not to sit there and move your thumbs playing a computer game. You know, now if there is a good one, then there may be some of them out there. But the ones I've saw are not. And these things are detestable. All they are is stealing, killing, and destroying. You show me a computer game today and somebody's not killing somebody. You show me a movie that's on that there's not wild, killing, stealing, sex, you know, you name it, it's on there. And Christians are watching that stuff. And you want to know why you're sick? I can tell you. I can remember one day, I remember the woman's name, Mary. Two pastors in this area called me and said, Thurman, we have a lady in our church that's down with cancer. Would you go over and minister to her with us? I said, yes. So I met these two pastors. We went over to Mary's house. We walked in that afternoon, I don't know, 3 or 4 or 5 o'clock. She was watching soap operas on a television. We sat down at her table, and I'm listening to this thing. And after about 15 or 20 minutes, I said, ma'am, do you watch those programs very much? Oh, yeah. She said, I watch those every day. Those are my favorite shows. I said, would you mind turning that off while I'm ministering to you? Well, okay. So she turned it off. In the 30 minutes or so that I ministered to her, after a few minutes there, finally, I told her when she spoke a word of profanity the second time, I said, ma'am, I come over here as a pastor to minister to you, and two times you've used a word of profanity. She said, I did not. And her pastor said, Mary, you have. I heard you both times also. I looked at her and I said, ma'am, you're so steeped in what you watch on that television, it's so in your heart that it's coming out of your mouth and you don't even realize what's coming out of your mouth. But the world is coming out of your mouth. You're feeding it in off of that television set every day. So we spent an hour or two with her, tried to build her faith a little. And we prayed for her, and we walked out and got in the car. I got in the back. The two pastors, other pastors, got in the front. And he turned around and looked at me before he started the car and said, what do you think? I said, she'd be dead within 3 weeks or less. He called me just a few days, maybe a week or a week and a half later, and said, Thurman, you were right. Mary died today. I said, I told you. I said, she couldn't have any faith. I said, what's in her heart is what comes out of her mouth. And her heart was full of the junk of the world. She was feeding hours a day of the world into her heart. And it killed her. But God says it will in His Word. You got to put Him first if you want to get well. Now then, could she have gotten well at this point where she was? I don't think it was possible for her to build her faith to the point she needed to get well. You know, it's kind of like when somebody calls and says, I need you to come again and pray for me again. Hey, did I pray in faith for you the other day? Did it say, anoint you with oil and pray the prayer of faith for you and you'll get well? Well, yeah, that's what it said, but I'm not well yet. I said, you didn't believe you were well when I prayed for you. See, if you believe God and you've got your sins repented of, you've confessed your faults one to another, and you prayed the prayer of faith, if you really done everything God says, in fact, let's go from right there to that mighty promise in James 5:14. I want you to see this promise in James 5:14 under the new covenant. James chapter 5, verse 14, 15, and 16. It says, are any among you sick? Now, if you're a Christian, who does that cover? Everybody. That included you, didn't it, Randy? Are any among you sick? Yeah. You were among us and you were sick, wasn't you? Yeah. Then it says, they should call for the elders of the church. Now then, there is not a lot of elders of the church that meet the criteria that's required. So if you're going to call the elders of the church, you don't want to have a group like this woman the other day that called me and said, I've got this certain disease and I need to be healed. And I showed her this verse. I said, now go to your church where you are. She's in another city. Tell your pastor to get some of the elders or the deacons together and have them pray over you and anoint you with oil. So she looked at that and said, wow, this is a great promise. So she did. A few days later, she called me back and she said, well, I like to never got them to get together on this. But they finally did it because it's in God's Word. But she said, when I did, after we got through praying, they told me, now get yourself down to the doctor and let the doctor check you. I said, well, it didn't work. It says the prayer of faith, not the prayer of unbelief. I said, look what it says. Is any among you sick? They should call for the elders of the church and have them pray with them, anointing them with oil in the name of the Lord. And their prayer offered in faith. Their prayer offered in faith sometimes will heal the sick. Oh, that's not the way it read, huh? Well, that must be the way we read it. Isn't that true? What does it say will happen there, brother? The prayer of faith will do what? It shall heal the sick. Is that what yours said? The prayer of faith shall heal the sick. And the Lord will make them well. And anyone who has committed sins will be forgiven. Confess your sins to each other and pray for each other so that you may be healed. The earnest prayer of a righteous person has great power and wonderful results. Well, you need to find those kind of people. Where are you going to find those kind of people? You're going to have to find somebody who spent time with God in the Word. Now, if you go to the average church, wonder that just like the last yesterday, I guess it was, or day before yesterday, I forget what, in the little city I live in, I passed by the Masonic Lodge, and there was a whole bunch of cars out front. Those men were having a Masonic Lodge meeting, and some of those men I know went to the Baptist church where I used to go. You don't want those men to pray for you. You need to be very careful. See, these men, unfortunately, have taken an oath to the devil. But they don't believe it. They don't believe that when they took the ritual of Hiram Abiff, and whenever, how many of you know that if you are going to be indoctrinated into a lodge, you're going to go in there with a blindfold on, half dressed, with a tow rope around your neck, and the first thing you're going to say as a Christian man, you're a blind, profane candidate seeking the wisdom and knowledge of the universe. Now, first of all, if you're a born-again Christian, you ain't supposed to be blind, you ain't supposed to be profane, and you're not supposed to be seeking the wisdom of the universe. You're supposed to know already these things. Your blindness was supposed to run away when you accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. You know, so somebody said, well, you need to be careful talking about the Masonic Lodge. No, I'm going to tell you, you don't want a Mason praying for you. You don't want that guy praying for you. His prayer not going to be answered. I had a man one night I was trying to talk to about the Masonic lodge in a Baptist church, and he jumped right up in front of all the rest of men, jumped right in my face. If I ever saw a manifestation of a demon in a Baptist church, it was in that man. He said, I need to pray for you. I said, forget it. I don't want you to pray for me. I don't want your prayers. In fact, I said, I'm going to tell you all tonight that if this man comes back on as a deacon in this church, I am out of here and I will never be back to another meeting. I will have nothing to do with a group of deacons that are being led by two or three or four men that go to the Masonic Lodge onto their normal meetings. I will have nothing to do with evil. And they wouldn't listen to me, so I left the church. I ain't going to have nothing to do with evil. I know what I'm talking about. I know that if you want your prayers to be answered, you don't want a man in a church. I don't care what kind of church it is. I don't care if the guy's the pastor. You don't want him praying for you if he's a Mason. He'll make you sick. He's serving another God. He may not believe that, but let me tell you, I can show you where he's serving another God. How many gods are we supposed to have before us? One. And it's the Lord Jesus Christ. There's to be no oaths and no rituals and no nothing that you or I are supposed to take. I don't want to be a member of no other organization except one. I'm going to be a member of the church. I'm not going to join nothing else. I don't care how good it appears. I may do things, but I will not have nothing to do with any organization to become a member of it. I can do everything I need to do just by being a member of the church. That's all I need to do is be a member of the church. So, if somebody tells me to come pray for them and I do and anoint them with oil, and a month later or 2 months later, they're telling me I'm still not healed. Let me tell you, you know what should be your confession the very minute you call somebody to pray for you? When you get men that are men of faith, men that are walking holy before God, men that are doing what the Lord says, men that believe this book, that are walking in faith, when they pray for you, you know what your declaration should be? I'm healed. It's written in the book. I don't care. I don't look at my symptoms no more. I don't care what I feel like. I don't care what I look like. I don't care what nothing is. All I know is God said it. It's mine. It's done.
We're going to have to stop right there for today, but we'll start again tomorrow with the teaching. And if you'd like to have these teachings in their entirety, if you would just give us a call, we'll be happy to send them to you free and postpaid. That's at 940-242-2106. 940-242-2106. And we'll send them to you free and postpaid. Or you can go to our website. You can listen to these teachings again from the website, or you can get them free and postpaid from www.tlsm.org. www.tlsm.org. That's the Living Savior Ministries. There you can listen to these again, or you can order them free and postpaid, and many other teachings free and postpaid from our website. Praise the Lord Jesus.